Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
This issue of getting along and in the three areas, and we've talked about the problems and what prevents us from getting along with God, with ourselves, and with people. And basically, it boils down to selfishness. I just get selfish. I want what I want. I think my way is best. I think I know what's best. I don't understand why we got a problem here. Everybody would get along fine if everybody just do what I want them to do. And I think I see things clearly, and I think I have a good understanding, and I think, you know how it goes, right? And so, you know, you have that idea, and if that is you, then there's real problems in getting along here. Then there's this issue of standards. Well, I think everybody should act like this. I think everybody should dress like this. I think everybody should do it this way. And we all have this idea, this bar that we've set in our life to say, this is the bar and this is where everybody should go. And then when people don't measure up to that and don't follow that same way, we get into issues. And then there's the secrets and scars of our past because of how we've been raised and what we've been through and all the issues we've gone through, create issues that we don't ever deal with. Then there's this suspicion issue, and that bottom line is we don't trust anybody. I mean, after all, we all know the only person you can trust is yourself. And if that's your way, then that's the way you always be. You'll always look at people. What do they want? What are they trying to get from me? What are they going to do to me? What's going to happen next? What's going on? And then there's this idea that, you know what, I'm just better off alone, and I like my life, and I'll live for me. Now, if any one of those even strikes a little chord in you, I will tell you this right now, what I know about you. You're not getting along very well. You're probably not getting along with God. You're probably not getting along with yourself. And you're definitely not getting along with other people. So how do we fix that? Logical answer, right? How do I fix it? Well, I'm going to give you a little list here this week and next of what we have to do and how we have to do it. I first of all have to acknowledge. I first of all have to be willing to say, yes, that's me. Yes, I tend to do that. Yes, I fit in that list. Yes, you've nailed that. Yes, I am selfish. Yes, I am this way. Okay? So that's where it all starts. Now the problem is, not the problem, the issue you have to understand, just acknowledging it doesn't mean you're going to fix it. Okay? Acknowledgement is only the first step. See, you can acknowledge it. Well, yeah, I tend to be a little suspicious, so just deal with it. Too bad. Right? That's what a lot of us do, isn't it? We know we're that way, but after all, it's not that bad. I mean, if everybody could be me, that'd be wonderful. Then there has to be agreement. You see, acknowledge it begins with me recognizing something, but understand that that's also what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit works in our life to point out those things that are wrong, doesn't He? That's what He does. He does that very well. So now, not only do I have to acknowledge it, now what I have to do is agree with God. And here's what I got to agree with. I got to agree it's wrong. I got to agree it's hurting me. I got to agree it's not pleasing God. Now, just let me ask you a very simple question. If I'm okay with it and God's not, who do I listen to? You know the right answer, but when it comes to practicing, well, God, you don't understand. Well, God understands that I'm this way. God just knows that, yeah, He does, and He knows it's wrong. And he knows you don't have to stay that way and you shouldn't. So there has to come this willingness to say, yes, this is an issue. God's pointing it out to me. I can recognize it. I can see it. I'm a smart person. I know that I tend to be this way. I know that I tend to do those things. And now the next step has to be, after this acknowledgement of it, now I have to be in agreement with God that this needs to be dealt with. Needs to be fixed. Needs to be changed. It's here that we lose. I believe in most cases, most people are aware of what's hurting them in their life. Okay? I just automatically know many times when people come and talk with me, or I'm talking with somebody and they'll say, I'm trying to figure out what's wrong. I believe most of them already know what's wrong. Okay? First of all, we don't want to admit it. And we don't want to then say that it's wrong. It's there, but I'm okay. It's there, I can deal with it. It's there, I've learned how to cope with it. It's there, and I'm doing all right with it. But your problem is, you're not getting along with other people. Now, I've already said this, but let me make sure I say it again. If you call yourself a Christian, you have to get along with other people. Relationships, according to the Bible, are what qualify you as a Christian. Bible says this, if you say you love God but don't like the people or hate the people that you live with, how can that be? How can you say you love someone you don't see when you won't love somebody you do see? So there has to be an understanding that, you know what, I don't get to set these rules here and I don't get to just be the person I want to be, because if I'm going to serve God and if I'm going to be the Christian God wants me to be, then at some point in time, I've got to be in agreement with God and say, this is wrong and hurting my Christian walk. And we don't do it. Right? So it's a very simple thing. But we don't do it. So many times this begins to be the hang-up point. Yeah, I know I'm like that, but. Right? Questions, comments here? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm okay. Don't change my routine. In fact, I've been mulling over in my mind over the last several weeks. There's a passage that sometimes just every once in a while I'll get and I'll just kind of, it stays on me, and I'm just, when it starts doing that, I begin, okay, what do I need to learn here? And the one that has just kind of stuck with me has been this one that says, you know, the heart is deceptive among everything else. The Bible says that. Heart's deceptive. And what does it mean by that? What does that mean? How does that play out in our lives? And just this week, suddenly one thing dawned on me. I had this little light go on. You know what that means is? I know I'm doing something wrong. I know it's not good for me. I know it's not healthy. But it's okay. My heart has just deceived me. Not a big deal. I can live with this. Well, you maybe can live with it, but everybody else can't live with you. So this understanding, what does the heart do to me? My heart, my nature, lies to me. And when something comes into me that says, you know what? I have to acknowledge this isn't pleasing to God. I have to acknowledge this isn't healthy for me. I have to acknowledge that this isn't right that I do this. Then immediately, once we do that, there's this heart issue that comes in and says, yeah, but you're a good person. But you mean well. You didn't aim to do that. You're really much better than this. And I'm deceived. What does the deception do? It causes me to not do the third thing. It it causes me not to take action. If I'm okay, I don't need to change anything, do I? I mean, after all, I'm right, everybody else is wrong. After all, I know what's best for me. We call that stubbornness, don't we? That's not a positive character trait, by the way. Lest some think it is. And so we have to come to that place where we are willing to say, you know what? I recognize this isn't good for me. This isn't pleasing to God. The Holy Spirit lets me do that. But what do? We plow ahead anyway because I am not going to change. And then what happens? Then, over the course of time, might be months, might be years, we make a mess of our life. And we make a mess in other people's lives. We spit poison everywhere because that's sin. And therefore, then we wonder, well, I don't understand, God. Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you dealing with this? God, why don't you get rid of this? God, what's going on here? We start blaming God for it when in reality, it's our own stubbornness and stupidity. Real quiet in here today. Yes, ma'am. I've heard the issue of laziness, and I really have questioned that because I know that's a part of it, but I think when it comes to our spiritual condition, I don't think that laziness is usually the problem. I think usually the problem is I don't want to be honest and I don't want to fix this. I just don't want to deal with this. I don't want to have to change. After all, if I change that person I don't like, I might have to start liking them, and I don't want to. That person that did something to me, I might have to forgive, and I don't want to. Right? And therefore, it's our stubbornness. It's that issue of, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do this. Yes? Let me give you another word, a biblical word for, instead of stubbornness, perseverance. Okay? I will keep going on, but hear me. If I'm persevering doing the same stupid thing over and over again, that's just stubborn. That's not healthy. That's not positive. But if I persevere in doing what is right, that's a positive thing. So I have to come to that place where what happens here is this action, and we're going to kind of revisit a little bit last week. Action means I have to start doing something about it. Now, here's what we Christians do, and especially us Pentecostals. Oh God, please take this away from me. Oh God, please don't make me like this anymore. Oh God, I bind this spirit of selfishness. And I just want you to remove it and kill it. We start praying prayers for God to do what we won't. Okay? In other words, God, I want you to do this. I don't want to. God, deliver me. God, set me free. I won't ask for a raise of hands. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think another aspect is not only aligning with that other person, trying to be better with them, but if you're in a bad
Right. That I might have to make changes here in how I look at things and how I'm dealing with things. And so that's frightening to us. And again, the suspicion thing. All of these things play into keeping us from doing what we should be doing, right? Right. Right. bondage. That's what these things do. They bind you up. They keep you ineffective. They keep you at a distance from God. They keep you at a distance from other people. They put you in a place where you're always feeling like, I got to justify and I got to do something. So it's very appropriate, yes. God does this to say, look, I want to set you free from all of this. And now here's what's going to have to happen. You're going to have to, first of all, be willing to acknowledge you have a problem. And secondly, you're going to have to agree with me that this problem is sin. It's wrong. And then you're going to do something about it. Dick. Right. Live at peace. There is this willingness to understand something, and she mentioned it here as well. I will be at peace with everybody. Now, if they choose not to be at peace with me, that's their choice. That's them. I'm still going to be the one who's going to do what's right. I'm still going to open that door. I'm still going to allow that opportunity to be there. But if they choose to not be peaceable, then I cannot fix that. And that's what that verse says, as far as it's possible with you. You live at peace with everyone. So you do what you can. If other people choose to act differently, that's their issue. So that if somebody else that I have to meet with on a regular basis is just difficult to get along with, I'm still going to be the person who's going to do what's right, understanding that they're going to be that way. You know, they're going to be controlling. They're going to be manipulating. They're going to be offensive. They're going to be difficult to get along with. They're going to be someone who's going to be angry. They're going to be someone who's going to say things they shouldn't say. They're going to be someone who's going to maybe take advantage of me. Fine. Here's what else the Bible says along with that. Blessed are you when people take advantage of you. Oh, we like that verse. When they say all manner of evil against you. Great is your reward. Right? And so what we have to understand is, I have this responsibility. Now, I can't do it for other people. But as far as it's possible with me. Dad. Right. Right. Yep. Right. Right. God won't do what he's waiting for you to do. You know, with the children of Israel, what did he do all the time? Here's what I'm promising you. Here's what I'm going to do for you. Now get up and go fight. Well, just why don't you take care of the enemy and remove them and let us just go in and have the land. God wouldn't do it, would he? So I got to take action. When I take action, it means I have to change. Now, there's an old line that says, change is inevitable, growth is intentional. When I change, Doc Dobbins, who we had here a year or so ago, Doc Dobbins puts it this way, to change is to grow. So what I have to do in this action is, I have to change something in my life. I don't get to act the same way. I don't get to think the same way. I will do this on purpose. I will take this action. Now, understand something. You cannot go forward if you're holding on to the past. You can't reach ahead until you release what's behind. So if I am being selfish, I'm going to have to let that go, aren't I? And take a hold of something else. Bible says you die to self. Here's what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3. I could have confidence in my own effort. If anyone could, I could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. But whatever gain I had, I have counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. In order for Paul to go forward, he had to leave all of that behind, didn't he? He had to let it go. And everything there he did, now if you go back and you want to read it sometime, everything there he listed for you, he has to now be against. That's not just a little subtle shift, is it? You know, kept the law. And then what's Paul teach? The law's of no value. I mean, he just turns it completely around. He took an action that said, you know what? I acknowledge that my legalism was wrong, and I agree with God. You know, it helps you can agree with God a lot better when he sends a blinding light, knocks you off a horse, and makes you blind, and you hear a voice. I mean, I understand that. That does make it a little bit, yeah, I agree with that, God, sorry. You know, you line up pretty quick right there, right? But now the Holy Spirit, he says, I agree. So now Paul has to do what? He has to take an action, doesn't he? And the action is, he's got to leave some stuff behind. What I used to do was this, but now, whatever gain, it's a loss. I leave it go. That's huge. That's huge. Right. He was talking about the legalistic issue, not the laws of God. Right. Right. That's what he went. And so he was saying, I'm going to leave behind that legalistic system. God's ways are still right. But now I don't keep the law by legalism. I keep it by the Spirit. Now see, this is where our will comes into play. And you've heard me tell you over and over again, God never goes against your free will. You always have a choice. Well, I can't do that. Oh, why? You always have a choice. I can do all things through Christ. So that I understand that God gives me the understanding. God sends His Spirit to help me know what to do. When I take action, He will be there to help me do it. So it's this partnership issue that God and I have to work together. I will walk in obedience and do what's right in God's sight, and God will help me do it. And so many times we just have a hard time taking this action because this action means I've got to let go of some of this junk. I found myself in the same place Dad talked about. You know, I've been talking to somebody, and I'll say, well, if you're going to fix this, you got to do this, this, this. I don't want to. I got a point to prove. And then my line has to be this. Then I'm sorry, I can't help you. Can't help you. Most people, here's what the Bible says. To him who knows to do right and doesn't do it, it's sin. So if you're holding on to your little issue and you're refusing to do what is right in God's sight, you're sinning. Well, but I have a right to this. Good. You have a right to sin. That's true. Isn't this great? Yes. Right. 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 Sure. You're right. 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 And I think what really makes that harder is that what I have a tendency to do is I look at that and think, well, I'm doing better than them, rather than looking at God's word and saying, hold it, this is what I go by in my life, not according to what everybody else is doing. So it does get really hard when you go out in society to have to say, you know what, I can't live like that. And then when you start living what's right, there is a huge gap between them and the Christian. It's huge. And so we look at ourselves sometimes and say, well, I'm okay. I'm better than... No, you're not. Or we start acting like them and we allow that to influence us. That becomes even worse. Love one another. Yep. Right. And I think, you know, again, allow the Holy Spirit to work here and then allow Him to help me here. That I don't have to do this. I am not talking about mind over matter. I am not talking about your will of doing this. I am rather talking about this. God, this isn't pleasing to you. It's hurting me. It's wrong. And I am going to deal with this and I need your help to do it. So could you and I together work on this and get it over with? See, there's a lot of people who have good thoughts, they have good ideas, they have good intentions, but very seldom does it translate into action. Do we do it? And so this understanding that we have to somehow break the power of the past and begin to act towards the future. And you have to start acting. Now, here's the other thing that happened. Well, you know, Pastor, I understand that, but I just don't feel like it. And I'll go down this road again, too. Feelings are never the engine of your life. They are the caboose. Okay? They get pulled along. If you only do what you feel like, you won't act right. God's Spirit, God's Word is the engine in us. And we allow Him to direct us. So actions precede feelings. Feelings follow actions. You act yourself into feeling. So you have to understand you're not going to feel like it sometimes. Because why? The flesh doesn't want to die. So the heart's deceiving you, thinking, oh, you don't want to do that. That's, you know, and we have all kinds of excuses and everything else. And you know what's amazing to me? Is how many people will know this and yet hold on to their little petty issue. Yes. Right. Right. That would be the flesh. Right. 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 So the next time when you see him and he comes ask you for money again, and God says, give it to him. Right. Yeah, what? Or, you know, anytime anybody asks, first question, God, what do you want me to do? It doesn't matter what they're going to use it for. This isn't about them. This is about me. It's about me listening. That's what it's about. So we understand that the core of beginning to get this dealt with is beginning to come to a place where, you know what, I'm willing to acknowledge, you know, yeah, I tend to be this way. This is me. And I agree with God. This isn't good. This isn't right. This isn't pleasing to him. And that's all that matters. Doesn't matter what anybody else is about. It's God and me. And therefore, God, what do I need to do to honor you? To begin to eliminate this out of my life. Now, if I'm going to eliminate it, I need to let it go. There will always be some things you will have to let go of. Some feelings, some emotions, some wrong ways of thinking that you've thought of for your entire life. Some actions and attitudes that you've been carrying with you for a long time. You will have to let them go. What does Paul say? He says, you know, I'm this and I'm this and I've done all this and all that, but it's not there. So what's his next line? What's he say next? He says this, I do concentrate on this. I leave the past behind. Now, think about it for a moment. For Paul, that's a big deal. How many people had Paul killed? A lot. Paul was probably their number one hitman. I mean, he's the number one guy. He's killed a lot of people. He's put a lot of people into bondage by his pharisaical attitude, as people tend to do. And what's he say? I forget it. Now hear me. You never completely forget. But what you do is you break the power of the past by not thinking about it as much. I concentrate on this. I leave the past behind, and with hands outstretched, what's he doing? He's embracing, isn't he? With hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead. Well, Pastor, if I change, is it all going to work out? Maybe. Is it going to be this way? Maybe. To whatever, doesn't matter. Because I'm doing what's right, it doesn't matter what the result is. To whatever lies ahead, I go straight for my goal, my reward, the honor of being called by God in Christ. Wow. What is it in your life right now that you feel justified in what you're doing, but you know it's not God, and it's not godly, and yet you keep holding on to it. You keep justifying it. You keep thinking you've got a right to it. You know it's there, but you're okay with it, but God isn't. What is it going on in your life right now that's causing friction between you and other people in your life that you know isn't pleasing to God? Are you willing to acknowledge it? Are you willing to agree with God that it's sin? It's wrong. And are you willing to take some action? Big step, isn't it? Frightening. Hard. Difficult. And that's exactly why so many people don't ever do it. It's just more comfortable to stay where we are. I mean, after all, we've learned how to deal with it. Everybody else should just deal with it too. Well, fortunately, I'm done. Let's pray. Father, your ways aren't ours. Lord, you want us to get along. That's what demonstrates our commitment to you. It's what sets us apart from others. Lord, I pray that if there's anything in our life that we have been holding on to and need to let go of, that you would help us to be in agreement with you and start taking action on what is right before you. Help us, I pray, in thy name. Amen.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.